Access Formula podcast, where we'll be getting down to earth with real entrepreneurs. You know, the ones who work hard and know that success is more than a mindset, because it takes blood, guts, and a bucket full of luck to survive and thrive in the world of business today. My name is Damien Mark Smith, and I am the author of The Entrepreneur Success Formula, How Thriving Business Owners Actually Do It. And I'm the host for today's show, because I'm going to be asking 10 quickfire questions to today's entrepreneurial guest. Who is Richard Herrington, the director at RSR Enterprises Limited, who has a bit of a history of working in the construction industry where safety is paramount? Richard is a safety consultant, and he's proactive in ensuring that his clients' health and safety requirements are met and that their contractors are working in a safe and compliant way. So, Richard, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Damien. Good evening.
Good evening, good morning, good day, good night. Everyone listens all over the world.
Yes, yes. Hello to everyone out there.
Hello to everyone out there. And, you know, I said a bucket full of luck at the beginning, and, you know, blood, guts. But actually, this is what you try and avoid, isn't it, with your clients?
Absolutely try to avoid all of the above, yes. Yeah, yeah, blood, guts, thunder, you name it.
Absolutely.
Really don't want to see any of it.
Definitely not. No blood allowed, please. So when did you start your business, and, you know, how did you get your first customer?
Well, it's a two-stage story, Damien. I'm going to go back to 2011, when I got disillusioned with the construction industry and the large corporate infrastructure that was there. And I couldn't do what I wanted to do in construction, which was build. And I was taken away to do progress reports, budgets and everything else, and I wanted to make sure that my client was getting a good end product. And so I decided to leave, and I set up a business in 2011, yeah, here I am, in a slightly different business now today to 2011, but yeah, that's where it was.
How did you sort of kind of move into the health and safety side of it?
Well, it was during this disillusionment, if that's such a word, that I thought to myself, well, what am I good at? And I'd always been quite reactive towards health and safety. I'd got a very good track record with clients, with the HSE. My construction sites were incident-free, one would like to say. So I had a good record. So I knew it and I understood it, and people knew that I knew it and understood it as well. So it was just a natural place for me to go, was into health and safety.
So typical opportunity, entrepreneurial opportunity. It's like, oh, there's a bit of a gap in the market. I can see there's some other people that aren't so health and safety conscious. It could even be a business opportunity in this.
Yes, yes.
Fantastic. What has been so? I'm going to kind of refer this specifically to your target, to your kind of industry. What has been the biggest mental challenge that you've had to overcome? And that can include kind of like dealing with sort of stories about, you know, disasters. And I mean, I heard one recently, which I'm not going to relay because it's a family show.
Yes.
Let's just say someone lost.
What's the biggest disaster?
Yeah. No, like the mental challenges you've had to deal with, like, you know, in the job.
The mental challenges. For me, it's always been about there's right and wrong, two sides to the coin, law abiding and law breaking. And the construction industry is very highly regulated, but you make more money the less of the regulations you comply to. Mm-hmm. Because speed is of the essence. Someone wants to go in, earn their money, leave, and move on to the next project. And that's where accidents tend to happen.
Yeah.
So the biggest challenge was changing mindsets of businesses out there, the subcontract world, that actually doing it safely has its own benefits and its own rewards. And you're more likely to get another carrot angled in front of you to go on to another contract if you do it slowly but surely, efficiently and safely. So
what if you had to if you if you had to start all over again from scratch, what would be the first thing that you would do differently?
Well, I just have started a brand new business. RSR is brand new in the last 3 months, last quarter. Mm-hmm. And whereas when I started it before I came out of frustration, now I want to be in a place where everything is planned. I know now that in 2011, I hadn't dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. And this time I've decided that the way forward is to dot the I's, cross the T's, and don't go at it. I don't want to use the word reckless because that sounds the opposite of health and safety, but piling into it with bags of enthusiasm probably isn't the way to go. It's to have a clear definition of what you want to achieve.
Okay, so I'll swap the questions about a bit then, because I think this would lead on nicely to the next one. So you're going to grow the business, but what is your market? What are going to be your marketing tactics? Obviously, we belong to the same BNI group, so that's one, networking.
Yes, when I came into this, again, it was very much, I was never anti-networking. I was anti the time of day that networking took place. And because of contractual reasons, I've had to find a different way to market. And I was asked to join a networking group, BNI, and I found that there's such a diverse culture there that actually, why didn't I do it 10 years ago? Mm-hmm. Why not? And I'm using the what I'm picking up during that networking, and I'm starting to think, hold on a moment, I've already got networking groups out there, but I didn't realise that I had them. I've got my own networking groups. But it's joining that regimented, multi-diverse group of people that's made me realise that actually, no, that's a great place to go. That's a great place to go. Everything beforehand was word of mouth. Everything was, did I know them? Did they know me? And that was an easy route in. But now I'm having to find that marketing is important, and networking is very important.
Did you find before that when it was word of mouth, it was like almost like on a per job basis? It's like, we need someone for this thing. Oh, I know a person who'll be perfect for that.
Initially, yes, probably that was the case in probably half of them. People don't realize that they need health and safety from a legal point of view, you know, from one man bands up to multi-million pound internationals, everyone does need it. Yeah. So when you get that, for want of a better description, foot in the door, and you point out what could be lost more than anything else, because at the end of the day, we're very alike and akin to an insurance policy. And it's the same with anything. If you don't have that insurance policy, there's a chance that you could lose a lot. So right. Just getting your foot in the door there is quite apt.
Makes sense. And I always, you know, hear the sound bit of advice on insurance is if you can't afford what happens if you don't have it, then you need insurance.
Yeah.
Especially with this, I think it's absolutely vital. If you're in charge of the UK construction business, what health and safety legislation would you introduce?
You see, now I've had a look at this more in depth in the last week or so. Construction health and safety is what would I do? I would make training, education, super compulsory. I would make it that there's no other stones to be turned, that everybody must be educated in health and safety, especially in the construction world. if people understand, and I find this from when I give teaching sessions, that quite often you'll get people come in twiddling their thumbs, really don't want to be in a room.
Yeah,
I've got better things to do. I can earn money. And by the end of the course, you can see that there's been a light bulb moment of, oh my, I realised that I didn't realise. And so they walk out with a different mentality to the hopefully the rest of their working world. So
voluntolds, as I like to call them, people who've been told to come along and to partake in the workshop.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So just on that one, have you been doing kind of online training through Zoom with the lockdown?
I haven't done any online training, no, not yet, but it is out there to be had. I would love to get into that. I've had some one-to-one discussions with various different people, but no, as I'd like to sit down and have a classroom kind of scenario and not yet, no.
Okay. Right, Richard, what's your favourite business book and why?
Well, I'm not a great reader of books, I must admit. So when I knew that I was coming into the podcast, Damien, I did actually have a look around and say, what book would I like to read? And I've had a look and I've made a note. Okay, so I'm going to say, and I don't know if this is easy pickings, but the number one book out there apparently is How to Win Friends and Influence.
Yep.
And that, written by Dale Carnegie, is that?
Carnegie,
yes. That sounds like a fascinating book. And again, reflecting on the networking of how to influence people you probably already know. So that, but also recommended to me was Our Iceberg is Melting, which again, I've had a look at and thought, you know what? Yeah, it's about dealing with change. And I guess as an entrepreneur, you are changing from one thing into another. And that book becomes very, very relevant. They're the two books that I've actually stuck in my basket to purchase and read.
Fantastic. I'm going to listen to that. Well, I do audiobooks, but I might.
Yes, even, me too.
Yeah, I might even buy that to take away to Crete when we can finally get out there. What is your morning routine?
My morning routine is, I'm going to go historic a little bit here to bring you up to date. I've spent in the construction world, I was always expected to be the first man on site, so no matter where I was. So I was quite often up with the early birds and always on site by about 7 o'clock in the morning, which if I had an hour and a half's travel meant I had to get up super early. And I spent 6 years at sea as a fisherman where there's no such thing as time. So my early mornings, when I got the opportunity, I don't like early mornings, so I don't get up early. So my mornings are generally get up slowly, do the usual bathroom runs and breakfast, come down, read my emails generally first before I start my day, which is generally now office-based at the moment, but looking to get out there and pass on the word, so to speak.
Fantastic. What do you think your business in construction and health and safety will look like in 50 years from now?
I'm hoping that in the next 50 years we can educate the up and coming generation in health and safety, and driving serious accident rates down. In the years that I've been involved, the 25 odd years I've been involved in kind of health and safety in the construction industry, the number of fatalities has halved in 25 years.
Yeah.
So 70, 80 deaths down to 30, 40 deaths, depending on the year. So in 50 years' time, I genuinely, genuinely hope that we can eradicate any death sentence. That would be where I would love it to be. My motivation to pass on the knowledge is that people go home in the evening after doing a day's work exactly the same way that they turned up. Maybe a little bit hungrier, a little bit dirtier, but at the end of the day, they go home to their family. And that, to me, if I can help achieve that, that's my reward. That is genuinely my reward.
That's good. Well, on that basis, what is your favourite business entrepreneurial movie and why? And if they made a movie about you and your business, and just thinking 50 years from today, if they made a legacy movie, who would play the starring role? Obviously, it has to be an actor today, because obviously...
We
don't know who they're going to be.
You see, there's going to be a great actor born in 25 years' time who's going to play that, but...
Let's just say the son of somebody. Yes.
I've been reminded about lots of phones films that take on board this world of entrepreneur, and Risky Business is one that dumped out at me. Wall Street is another, and even 9 to 5 with the fantastic Holly Parton. Rocky, great inspirational film, Rocky as well. But for me, it's always been one that sits in my mind is Working Girl. Someone that has very, very low down in the ranks, low esteem, and just decided, do you know what, I can be somebody. Grasped an opportunity, took it forward, everything against her, and guess what? Came out on top. Fantastic.
Great movie. Fantastic. Go on. Who's going to be the son of the... Who's the actor who's going to have a son? He's going to play you in 50 years. Who is it?
Matt Damon.
There we go. Matt Damon. Fantastic. Superb.
Yes.
Okay. And finally, what are your plans for expansion or exit?
Well, expansion. I am going to be content now, I think, with just ticking along. I think I'm always going to work. I'm always going to work. But when I do... I would like to retire 5 years' time, maybe, and get out, retire to a small island off, I don't know, Isle of Wight, maybe, and just
yeah. Get back on the boat.
Yeah, Isle of Man, somewhere like that. Isle of Dogs. Just to retire. Go away, be quite self-sufficient, I think. And that's my plan. Five years.
Fantastic. Love it.
That's the plan.
Superb. And then just like one last thing, one extra little question. Where do you think Arsenal are going to come this year? In the table.
In 1920, I think they're going to finish in sixth place. I think Man City's ban will be upheld and we will miss it by one.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to finish in fifth. So there you go. I'm going for it.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Stick a horse on it. Let it run home.
Yeah. So, yes, in the strange year that was 2020, when they'll look back and they'll say, oh, that was the year when most of the students didn't get any education, and where, you know, football was up the spout, and all the fantastic sporting events then like backlogged into 2021, which was the best sporting year of all time.
Yes. Yeah. When Arsenal finally won the Premier League again.
Exactly. I don't know about that. But we'll see. But I actually think England has got a good chance in the Euros. And you heard it here first. There you go.
I did.
Brilliant. Richard, thank you so much for taking part in today's show. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, where do they go?
There's an email address. Do you want me to shout that out now?
Go for it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's rjh@rsrenterprisesltd, and that's ltd.co.uk.
Fantastic. That's great. Thank you, Richard. Thank you so much for taking this brief delve into the real lives of real entrepreneurs. And can I just ask that anyone listening to this podcast who knows anyone who's interested in either becoming an entrepreneur or has a business and works hard and would like to have this brief delve into entrepreneurship and what it's like to actually run a business, please like us on iTunes and comment on YouTube if you can, as we're on both, and hit the subscribe button. And if you would like to take a part in this show, or if you know someone who would love to take part in the show, simply drop me an email. That's damien@rethinkingbusiness.biz. That's damien@rethinkingbusiness.biz, and we can have a chat. Richard, here's to your success, and see everyone soon.
Thanks very much, Damien.